Wyatt, and this is Rolling Stone Music Now. I have in the studio with me Andy Green. We're going to be playing Andy's interview with all of Fleetwood Mac, or at least the new lineup of Fleetwood Mac, which does not include Lindsey Buckingham, but does include Neil Finn and Mike Campbell, formerly of the Heartbreakers. And Andy, you were sitting there, and all of Fleetwood Mac was just facing you, right?
Yeah, it was a bit intimidating. I was ushered onto a sort of trailer with the current lineup of six people that all just kind of met each other, at least some of them.
It's sort of like this Spinal Tap joke they could make. You know, it's like, oh, we've been through so many lineups. There's been through so many changes. So, you know, Lindsey, he comes and goes. But what happened with Lindsey Buckingham?
Well, the story that they said was that they had planned on touring in 2018 for a very long time. And Stevie timed it so her big tour would be finishing. Then she'd go right into Fleetwood Mac. And they said that Lindsey wanted to wait a solid year to go on the road. And they couldn't wait, and they argued, and eventually they pushed him out and brought in Mike Campbell of Tom Perry and the Heartbreakers and Neil Finn from Carter House.
So Mike and Neil were sitting there. What was their affect? Like, how were they?
It was a little awkward for me and for them, probably, because it was a tiny space, and all six of them were facing me. And the thing I most wanted to hear about was the guy who wasn't there, but his two replacements were there. And It was tense. And so I'd keep asking about the guy who wasn't there, and it was really awkward. I could see Neil was sort of smiling and being cool, where Mike seemed just a bit disengaged.
Well, Mike's been through a lot. He lost Tom Petty this year.
Yeah, and he talked about that. It's been a really rough time for Mike. I feel awful for him to have to go through the loss of his best friend and his musical partner.
Where imagine for Neil Finn, he's just like, hey, this is wild.
He couldn't believe it because he was just sitting in New Zealand and the phone rang and it's, hey, do you want to join Fleetwood Mac? It's like, what the hell? Sure.
Did they explain in the interview how they came to the idea of these people?
Yeah, the thing is, from day one, it's been Mick Fleetwood's band. So when people leave, if it's like Peter Green leaving or Bob Welch or whoever, it's Mick's job to find new people. So he was doing this in 1969. And doing it 2 months ago.
Yes, yeah, so what I was referring to earlier, for people who don't know, is that Fleetwood Mac has had a very long history, including a very long history before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham joined the band.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, for some of them, it's like, oh, it's just another change,
yeah.
I guess.
It was very smart to name the group after the rhythm section, because they're the two ones that have been there the entire time. It's been the same drummer and same bass player, which is Fleetwood and Mac, from day one, but everybody else just leaves.
Yeah, theoretically, they could have brought in Lil Xan to be the,
yes,
the new front person, and it would still be Fleetwood Mac.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's hear the first part of Andy Green's interview with Fleetwood Mac just a couple days back.
All right. So, just how long ago did you guys first play together? I just want to hear about that first, about the first time that you sat down and instruments and played together with this lineup.
Maui,
which was how long ago?
Not very long ago.
3 weeks?
I just came home from Maui on Friday night. So
I guess it's a month.
Just barely a month.
Huh. And like, what was the first song that you all did?
Lord.
I think it might have been Say You Love Me.
I suspected it was.
Uh-huh. And how'd that go? I mean, did you feel immediately that this was going to work?
Yeah. And then we did it. I think whatever was like the second or the third song, then we cut and we did a little vocal rehearsal just around one mic.
Right.
And with a little, you know, drum beat and one guitar. And that was great because we've always done that. And you know, if you do that, you get pretty far pretty fast because you can hear everything.
Right.
So then, you know, because we were instantly loud.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a theater, so that was good. It was okay. So then when you really want to hear the vocals, the best thing to do is break it all down and do a little teeny vocal rehearsal. So, and throw those in every once in a while.
So how did you guys come to Neil? Can you tell me that story or just what led you to him?
Well, that's Mick's story.
Mick
chooses. Well,
have you got a long time?
An hour.
Story in the terms of me, first of all,
I've been a huge fan of Neil Finn's for a long, long time. He didn't know that back in the day. And we've met in London years ago and had just a great evening talking about music, etc., etc. And that whole thing, passing in the night syndrome, I won't go into it, but when you look back on it, knowing that we're sitting on a couch in front of you, it starts to be quite profound in truth. And I re-met Neil on a tour, a Fleetwood Mac tour in New Zealand, and had said, if you want me to play drums on something, I would love to do that. That actually did happen. I'm not sure whether Neil thought that it was probably one of those like, well, I'll come and play. And I'm going like, no, you don't understand. I really would love to do that.
I will come and play.
I will come and play.
And
you'll like it. So there's a lot.
You invited yourself.
He didn't actually say
pretty much.
Coming.
So there was a huge connect in terms of that just being part of something that was... led to this suggestion and then decision, and it just made a hell of a lot of sense. We speak about how we get to us all sitting on a couch in front of you, is that obviously a lot of thought went into what we needed and wanted to do first, and then what we needed to do to feel this is going to be complete, really energized and have a real credibility about what we're doing. And so it was a hugely important decision once we knew that we were looking for that to come to pass.
I would throw in that when Mick rang, it was like a friend ringing you to be in a band, you know. And I would equate it to when you're a young band, that's what happens, you know. You get rung up by a friend and say, hey, you want to come and have a play with my band?
Yeah,
I've heard you guys singing, and you know, felt like that.
I'm sure you were stunned that you never imagined.
I was stunned
being
Fleetwood
Mac, right?
But it had a naturalness even on the first phone call. There was something, it didn't seem, I was stunned. Yeah,
and they called you how long ago? Did they call you like a month or something ago?
About 2 weeks before we played. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It just occurred to me that it wasn't so cold. You know, it was a friend ringing me up.
And it's all of the above, you know, where you, well, no, it's not an audition, but in truth, would you come? I mean, eventually, you know, Mike, we all convened, and Mike was already a part of the mix in terms of going forward.
Before we got to Hawaii.
Yeah, before, okay.
Mike also has a house in Kauai, so then Mike came over, so Mike was like an island away, but still close. So it was all like...
But one of the things, getting to the moment where you go, this is absolutely it, is, of course, I'm phoning up a friend of mine. I'm going, like, well, any which way, in truth, I'm asking you to come and play. And Neil said, well, let's just take a breath, etc. And I said, well, is it an audition, or and he's a friend, and you don't audition Neil Finn, or you don't audition this gentleman sitting next to me here either.
Right.
It became, you know what, Mick, I want to come, and what did you say? You said, I just want to come and play. And that's the way I'm going to look at it.
It seems simple
because
in those two.
No one had met. He was a friend of mine, so I was hugely confident in terms of the musical suggestion, and quietly confident, but not knowing that the chemistry was going to be great.
So I've heard for a long time there's plans to do a big tour in 2018. And at what point did you realize it was going to be without Lindsay? Like, how long ago did the split happen?
After Music Cares in New York. Which is 3 months ago.
Which was February?
I think it was late January, maybe?
Yeah,
it was for the Grammy.
I left for Maui on the 4th of February, so it was had to be more like... I think it was like the 26th of January, somewhere at Music Cares was somewhere in that.
Right, and prior to that, you thought the tour was going to be with Lindsay?
Well, we didn't know we had a tour. That was part of the problem in terms of where it became a total impasse. The four of us had to come to a decision where we planned to be doing a large, you know, a huge, lovely Fleetwood Mac tour. Mm. And Lindsay Forshaw had very different opinions about when that should start. And the whole thing, without belaboring it, was percolating in a way that was not okay for the majority of the band in terms of knowing that we were going to go on tour, and he had for whatever reasons, and Lindsay will, I'm sure, address it in terms of a project he was working on. But it's not about, oh, what do you mean, why couldn't you wait, and all that stuff. We planned on doing what we were doing for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And the majority rules in terms of what we needed to do as a band and go forward, and it literally hit a brick wall after the show. And you know, Fleetwood Mac is no... You're sitting there, you're very conversant with the strange animal known as Fleetwood Mac. Mm-hmm. And really a lot of other sensibilities came into play. Mm-hmm. Where it just wasn't a happy situation. Mm-hmm. And we made that decision that we were going to part company.
So the biggest issue was scheduling the tour, is that how you... But is that what happened, Stevie? That was the biggest issue?
Well, the tour was, we were supposed to go into rehearsal in June, mm-hmm. and he wanted to put it off until next November.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's
and big. Then that's a long time.
Yeah.
And I just finished I just did 70 shows.
Yeah.
And finished the beginning of December.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was our next, you know, it's like for me, you know, Gemini, I have this amazing thing where I have these two amazing careers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it, so I'm never bored for a minute, you
right.
know, because I finish one thing and I just dive back into the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're doing. We're diving.
Yeah.
And he just had a lot of other things that he wanted to do. And there's just no way out.
Is there any part of you that thought you didn't want to carry on if it wasn't with him, or you just figured that the band goes forward?
No, because this band has always gone forward. You know, yeah. It's like when we came into the band, Bob Welch was leaving,
right?
And we were told that, and Mick came out and listened to a couple of Buckingham Nicks songs, and he called us up on the last night of 1974 and mm-hmm. said, "You guys want to join the band?" And it was the same kind of thing. He didn't go like, "Come audition." He said, "Would you like to come and play with the band?" You know, and see, because they didn't need another girl. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I always had one beautiful girl, so they didn't need me. And they left it to Christine to decide.
You
know,
have to decide.
Yeah, if you don't like her, Chris, they're out. You know, both of them, because they're a package. So, you know, it's like, and Mick heard the song, heard like a couple of songs off Buckingham Nicks.
Sure.
He called us up. He said, "Come in exactly the same as this." And so we went, and we went out to
Mexican
dinner. Yeah, we had a Mexican dinner, and we had the best time. And Chris and I just got, just made me laugh so much, I just could hardly stand it. And I was just like, oh my God, I've just met this funny, extremely funny, beautiful woman that I'm going to like hang out with for the next, and I thought, the next like 30 years, you know,
and
this is going to be my best
wrong.
Friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, so not wrong. And so she said, oh, she's okay. It's okay. She can be in the band. And so, I mean, there
she's
you go.
Allowed.
She's allowed. There you go. Bob Welch, you know, Hypnotized. I mean, it was you know, huge. And he decided he wanted to go be in a jazz band, right? So that was, he was just,
yeah,
you know.
There's a long history of you guys changing guitar players, right?
I mean, and so you go, if you go all the way back, because I did go all the way back during those days after he called us, you know, and I went out and bought every album they'd ever made and listened to them back to front, you know, and read all the research. And there was Jeremy, and there was Bob Weston, and there was Danny, and there was Peter Green.
And,
you
know,
and you know, right?
Yeah, sure.
And you do, right?
Sure.
Well, of course, I didn't either at that point. I'm like, who are these people?
Right.
And then, but you know, okay, so I listen to everybody and I listen to all of it. And it's like, this is the only band in the world, and I think it's great to say this, personally, I think this is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only band in the world who does what we do, which is we go, you guys went without us.
Mm-hmm.
You were together for like 8 years before we came.
Yeah.
And then we came, And then it's like, this has gone on, and then things kind of hit a wall. And then why would they not do, and now us, what we've always done, what they've always done? We don't want to stop playing music. We don't have anything else to do. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And you left for 16 years, my lady.
I was able for 16
years.
So how did you feel about carrying on like post Lindsay? Because you just finished a whole long tour with them on an album. So did you feel caught in the middle at all? Or how did you feel about all this?
You know, I had a great time with them on the road. I enjoyed making that record. And, you know, I was surprised to hear the news because it sort of happened after I'd gone back to London that mm-hmm. decision was made. I understood completely why. But, you know, life moves on, and I wanted to carry on playing with these guys. Mick, as I was saying earlier, has this aptitude. Somehow he kind of sniffs out these great people to come join us, you know. And I don't know how it happened, but he did it again, I think, you know, with Mike and Neil, because we got together in Maui and played together, and I feel as if I've known them for years, and I actually don't know them very well.
I don't know you at all.
Not yet.
I don't know you at all.
Well, there are other things about me, yes. That has a particularly good response. That one again. Yeah.
And so, Mike, will you just tell me briefly about getting the phone call and your first reaction to the request?
Well, I was stunned. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in my backyard by the pool, contemplating my future without my partner, which was in a pretty dark place in a lot of ways.
I'm sure.
Beginning to heal, and I got the phone call. And it was like this crazy event, and I said, give me a day to think it over, and the more I thought about it, I thought, this could be great, you know? I understand the way they play, they understand the way I play. I know Stevie for years and years, we get along really well, and we're very creative together. And I love the rhythm section, I love Christine.
Thank you, Mike.
And then I've always, you know, actually I met Neil, but he was in Split Ends, so I don't know if you remember that band.
Sure.
So when I heard he was on board, I thought, yeah, this is going to be a major event, you know, musically.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Let's talk about the set list. Is it going to be a bit similar to the last few tours? Are you thinking about bringing back some songs that you haven't done in a long time? Like, what's the thought about what kind of show you're going to be presenting?
Well, one thing we're going to do, I'm just going to jump in here. We're going to lock into the history of Fleetwood Mac, which we were never able to do since 1975. Because certain people in the band weren't really interested in doing that. And that's not a big deal. It's fine. Right. But we are interested in doing it.
Wow.
And so we're going to go back through all of the fantastic music that these people made before Lindsay and I joined the band, and really revisit all of this and pick out some great songs that, you know, we've now got 1, 2, 3, 4 serious blues people and you and me.
Yeah,
I've got to learn how to play.
So your old brain.
And it's, you know, and
we'll
so that that to me is really exciting because we always wanted to, and to be able to say like you know, open a set with like this raucous, loud version of Rattlesnake Shake or something, and not only, I mean, there's like Station Man from Christine, which was one of my favorites, and when we first...
I thought my song it was Danny's.
Well, whoever sang it was, you sang it.
No, I sang
I love the song. But the fact is there's so many great songs, and we also have an amazing catalog of songs that there are songs that we've never done, some that we've done once or twice. In our 5 million tours we've done since 1975.
Right.
There's just, we have an amazing catalog.
There's songs that I've even forgotten about. I've forgotten all about them.
Yeah.
So what we'd like to do is do a set that is super, is just enchanting, you know, that has got like, we have these like great blues men, and we have me and Christine, and we have Neil, and we have this whole new thing and ability to play all these amazing songs. And we do pretty much like a 3-hour set and have for as long as I can remember. So, you know, you do your hits, that's 10 songs.
Right.
And then you have...
John's signing off.
John just left the band.
You have a few more than 10 hits, I would say, as well.
But the ones that you have to do. There's the songs that you have to do.
Yeah.
So you do those, and then you have another 13 songs that can be, I'm counting them up, but they're in my head.
Yeah, that's
going to be a lot of fun.
That you can do, and then you crochet them all together, and you make a great sequence, and you have something that nobody has seen before.
Yeah.
Except all the things they want to see are going to be there.
I've seen you play Stand Back when you're with them. Are you going to be doing any songs in your solo career?
Sometimes we don't. It's a really great up-tempo song. It'll depend on kind of like the way we look at our set. If we need that up-tempo song, we'll put it in. If we don't, we won't.
And we may do Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
We may do Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
I can't wait to
do that. That'll be great.
Which is an amazing song.
So are you going to... I think the fans are presuming you're mainly going to be singing parts that were done by Lindsay in the past. Is that accurate, or would it be more...
Certainly from a practical point of view, the three of us will be singing together in a manner that hopefully gives those songs the best possible sound and spirit. And I see that as a very, very important part of what I'm there for. But I also think there's enough hunger within the band to redefine and move forward like a band does, as Stevie referred to.
Is there...
that as time goes on, the personality that Mike has as a guitar player is distinctive, and maybe some of the things that I do can, in the confines of Super Mag, also bring something new.
Is there a chance of a Carter Hell song or anything on the side of it even?
Oh, yes.
I like to think so.
Absolutely.
I think the overview is the fact that in another interview, the reality is John and myself we've celebrated 50 years of music with Fleetwood Mac. Stevie and Christine are actually nearly about to celebrate their version of it's all in the history of this. It seems a very apropos time to be able to enter into that arena and open up some of those moments that we can draw down on, have experiment the yay and nay, and not have any trepidation about trying to have these songs unfold. There's so many great songs that we haven't played in so long, and having it represent quietly, drawing down on some of the old stuff, I think is something, in truth, we haven't really ever done.
Right.
Which is hugely exciting, and it also encompasses taking everyone on a ride that we know and respect that they want to be taken on, and we're more than capable of doing that in some refreshed ways and some traditional ways,
So, John, I would love your thoughts on this. So, how did the rehearsal feel when you were with this new lineup? Did it feel right to you?
I feel very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to fit.
Yeah, and you've seen lots of change in this group, so I get new members. It's anything new to you, right?
It's another exciting chapter in the book, in the saga.
Yeah, it's a very long book to have at this point.
Yes, it is.
So let's hear the next segment, which actually begins the Andy asked Stevie Nicks a necessary question, which is, what will you miss most about having Lindsey Buckingham in the band? And let's hear what you had to say.
I'm always going to have total respect for the years that Lindsey and I spent when I first met him in 1968, when I was 18. No, I was 20. And he was like 19. He's a year younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And that we played in a band for 3 years up in San Francisco in the age of the dawning of Aquarius in San Francisco, 1968, 69, 70. Those 3 years, that's amazing. Opening for every band, every big band that there was, from Janis Joplin to Jimi Hendrix, 75,000 people. Those years were like so amazing, And then we moved to Los Angeles from 1971 to 1975 till the day that Mick called us and did the Buckingham Nicks record, which we arrived with our 12 demos. And we were in the midst of making a record they call in on spec, right? Speculation, somebody else was paying for it. Keith Olsen was letting us have the studio for free, and that's when you went out there. And those, you know, it was like, you know, I stayed in that relationship all those years for the music, you know? It was like the music. The music is all that's really important. And then I kept saying, you know, it's gonna happen, Lindsay. It's gonna, and I believe that it would have happened whether or not we had joined Fleetwood Mac or not, because we were determined, and we were workaholics. So it was gonna happen either way. And Buckingham Nicks was starting to break out of Alabama, which unbeknownst to us in California, you know, when I was a cleaning lady, and I had no idea my record was actually breaking in Alabama. So my respect for who he and I are and what we did, and that was, you know, had its moments of enchantment, you know, and that is a part of me, a part of my heart,
right,
and will always be a part of my heart. You know, Lindsay's and my relationship was never easy. It wasn't easy in 1968.
And how was it on the previous tour? Was it difficult at times on that last tour?
Lindsay's in my relationship, and I can say this because if he was sitting here, he would say, yeah, she's right. Lindsay's in my relationship was always volatile, and it was never easy. But we, you know, it was all about the music. And it was all about the music in 1968. It was all about the music in 1973 when Buckingham Nicks came out. And it was all about the music when we joined Fleetwood Mac. So, you know, I have, there's no way that you can separate him and me on that, in that way, because that was who we were and what we did for so long. But, you know, like old married couples, and we were never married, but we might as well have been. Like old married couples, you know, it gets to the point where sometimes where you just, you know, that's why people get divorced after they've been married for 40 years, you know, and break their kids' hearts and you know, and destroy everybody around them, because it's like, it's just hard. And so for me, it's just, you know, I'm sad. But you know what? I want the next 10 years of my life to be really fun and happy. I really do. I want to get up every day and laugh and dance around my apartment and smile and say thank you, God, for this amazing life. And I sing. You know, I sing. I sing around when I'm home. I sing all the time. And I want that youthful feeling. And that's what I feel right now. I feel like I'm 20 again. You know, I feel like I'm at the beginning of something magical. And these are magical people. And everybody is happy about this. We're all happy. You know, it's like, what more could you... We need to... Everybody in this crazy world we live in today, we need to try to play on as much happiness as we can.
So, Neil, so tell me the Fleetwood Mac song that you are most looking forward to singing every night.
Wow.
The mind goes. The mind goes blank.
You know, well, I'll tell you one song that I really enjoyed playing when we got together, and it was sprung on me the night before, and I knew it, but I didn't know it very well. But and it's not in my normal canon. Was World Turning.
You nailed it.
Well, I didn't expect to. I kind of went to the rehearsal going, I don't know, that's not my...
You were reading it off the telephone.
Yeah, I was, but I only knew it sort of in a marginal way from its origins. But I watched it on... watched the YouTube of Fleetwood Mac performing it, and it was just had such an amazing spirit. You know, Mick came out on the front stage with his hand drum.
Oh, jeez.
Christine's there, just standing on the stage.
No, it was great.
But it had a really beautiful arc to it, and we played it, and it felt really good, and I actually managed to sing it much better than I thought I would, because it's blues. I'm not like a... My songs are not traditionally blues songs. They're pop, you know.
You can sing blues.
But I know I can. I felt like that was my little... you know, welcome. And the fact that Chrissy and I sounded good together singing something which was not in my normal range was a really nice moment. I'm looking forward to that because of that, but also, you know, it's relating back to what Stevie and Mick were saying about maybe reaching back a little bit further. These are exciting prospects because they're less obvious.
Yeah, it would be great to hear a song like "All Well Again" or something. I mean, it's been years.
You're going to hear it.
You're going to hear that.
Wow, yeah. It'd be great.
That we can guarantee.
Yeah. Guarantee that one song. Yeah.
Goldust Woman was also a great highlight, yeah. Even though I don't sing singing harmonies in the chorus. But so, to stand next to Stevie singing that song was pretty.
Did you have any moment when you first learned that Lindsey was out that you worried that the band was over, or you always knew that it was going to carry on?
I think there's no doubt that, first of all, my instincts are, you know, for better or for worse, have always been to gravitate to go forward.
Never surrender.
Never surrender. Having said that, I would be lying if I didn't literally say that this needs a lot of thought as to how, and a team of people that actually want to do it, and not have some, you know, entity known as Mick, you know, going, come on, one more time, or whatever. So it had to be really heartfelt and a decision made where I literally, in my own private world, I'm unbeknownst, needed to go, this has to be really right, to say the least, just really to say the least, at this juncture of the band's career and legacy and going into what we're doing now, that there was a huge onus on first of all, decision of can this happen?
Yeah.
And once I had that, it was all about the enthusiasm that became, you know, in increments, with Stevie, with me, and then John. There were huge conversations about, this was a huge moment in Fleet, of course. And I mean that with respect to the fact that, you know, Lindsey, now not in the band, there's no way around the fact that's a massive part of the legacy of a band. Mm-hmm. It's also, in my world, something that felt that if everyone was in a place of wanting to have an enthusiasm about being a musician and continuing with the band, that it's not insurmountable. So that is what we embarked on, and it was hugely challenging, you know.
And just to clarify, I've seen some confusion now. Did he quit, or was he fired, or is it somewhere in between? Just how would you clarify his departure?
All of the fired words and you know, they're all ugly references as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But not to hedge around, at an impasse of hitting a brick wall, there was not a happy situation for us in terms of the logistics of a functioning band. Mm-hmm. And in truth, no secret to anyone in the room, quietly, without going into that, some of the things had a muscle memory of not being hugely fun.
Right.
And to that purpose, we made a decision that we could not go on with Lindsey. So it's really up to people such as yourself with, what do you mean, you let him go? We made a decision, we can't go on without you. That is correct.
Mm-hmm. I guess finally,
you were released, sir.
Are you still kind of stunned that this is real, that is your life, that you're in Fleetwood Mac now? I mean, it was so quick. It has to be just sort of like, be like whiplash for you to digest.
Yeah, I am, but it's a kind of delicious sort of stunnedness where, you know, sometimes in your life, I was enjoying my life and my musical life. It was very rich and varied, and I've got a restless nature. I've been in two other bands.
Right.
I've played with my brother. I've had all these different entities.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm relishing this beautiful gift that's been given to me. I'm realizing it's not without risk.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody, really, that, you know. But I felt real confidence when we sat in the room together, because that's what it comes down to. Is like, if it sounds good, which it did, then that's all you need to. All the larger picture spins your head if you think about perception and all that. But
I guess just to wrap. So then, how much rehearsal do you guys have before you're ready to go on tour? Do I was going to, how much time do you think it will take before this is totally
We're taking 2 months.
Okay.
Which is 5 days a week, 2 months.
Wow.
Because we want to, because you have to. Want to be sure. If, it, you know, in the band with Lindsay, we all pretty much knew the songs we were going to do.
Right.
So we could get it. We were only going to really probably rehearse 5-6 weeks.
Right.
If that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we knew it. It was going to be pretty much the same songs and pretty much... We know all that.
Yeah.
So this is different because we're going to do a lot of songs that we don't, we know, but we don't know.
Try and discard, try and keep.
Yeah.
So that process, by the nature of that process.
And the only way you can do that, honestly, you can put, we put a big board, you know, a big, huge board, and we put all the songs that everybody wants, which is like 60 songs, right?
Right.
And then we start from song number one, and we go through, and we play everything, and we go like, oh, this is never going to work. And, of course, that's the one that is the best. And then the next one that you absolutely think is going to work is shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you're going like, well, that's not going to work. So all of a sudden, you know, so you start taking songs off, and pretty soon you start to see your set coming together.
Yeah.
And you know how much time you have and how long each song is. So then, you know, then it starts to come alive.
Yeah.
But you need, in a situation like this, we will need 2 months.
What makes you think you're the one?
So you just heard Andy's interview with the entire current somewhat odd lineup of Fleetwood Mac. And again, you were faced with the entire band. It must have been interesting. The new guys, it was a little bit awkward. They're sitting there. You had to ask about
it. Well, it was awkward for me more that I was asking all these questions about the guy that was just fired that
Lindsay
they're
Buckingham,
replacing.
Yeah.
And they had to kind of sit there and kind of squirm as we go through, you know, these recent past events that led to them being hired.
And, you know, it's interesting. They're promising to play all these sort of rarities. And the idea seems to be like, oh, we might play songs from even the Peter Green era of Fleetwood Mac.
Which they could play Black Magic Woman, and most people will think that they're covering Santana.
Yes, that probably will happen.
And
they'll be super happy. They'll be like, great, they're covering Santana.
And they've played Oh Well at many shows in the Lindsay era, and he would sing it great. So there are a couple songs that might work, but I'll be curious to see how many pre-Stevie Nicks era songs that they play, because most people, it's just a different band that they don't even know.
Fleetwood Mac is fascinating to me because, for many reasons, one of them is they come from this like bizarre old-school mentality where the band just has to go on no matter who's in it, as long as it's Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, there was an entire era before Steve and Lindsay.
Yeah.
Stevie and Lindsay. And then there even were times when each of them were out of the band previously, right?
Yeah. The Rumors era was just 12 years. It was 75 to 87. And then Lindsay left prior to the Tango and the Night Tour. They hired Billy Burnett. They did one more album with Stevie in 90, and then she left. And then Christine left, but they kept going. So they hired Dave Mason from Traffic and Delaney and Bonnie's daughter, and they did a tour in 95. It was a quadruple bill of, it was REO Speedwagon, it was Pat Benatar, it was Orleans, and Fleetwood Mac. And Fleetwood Mac played in the middle of the show. They played The Chain and shit, and it's other people up there.
They were like, damn it, they said it was going to be Fleetwood Mac and Puppet Show. Yeah.
Right, yeah, like basically. But, so they were willing to open up for REO Speedwagon because the philosophy of Mick Fleetwood is nothing stops this band. Nothing.
It's very fascinating, and they are going to have a challenge because it's not like some random member left. Lindsey Buckingham was so key to the sound, and I think it's going to be interesting actually to see whether Mike Campbell actually emulates some of the very unique rhythm guitar stuff that Lindsey does, or just kind of plays it Mike Campbell style.
Yeah, unclear, but I think the Eagles tour, I think that showed them a huge amount here, that when Glenn Frey first died, Don Henley said that we can't possibly tour again. That would be pure greed. That would be insanity. But they did. They brought in Vince Gill, and they're playing stadiums. And as long as the songs are played and enough people are there, as long as Stevie Nicks is on stage and they're playing the hits, I think most people are not going to care, crazily enough.
I guess so. One of the things this illustrates, the Neil Finn introduction, I have a theory that as rock ages and gets farther from sort of the center of current pop culture, all the distinctions between different kinds of rock are breaking down. I think a better example of this is something we've often talked about, which is Tom Morello in the E Street Band.
Right.
Which these things that seem, these barriers that seemed totally huge, like, you know, Rage Against the Machine, E Street Band. Now it's like, I don't know, it just has a guitar in it. At least it's not rap, you know? It's,
yeah, but even Neil was saying, he's like, look, I'm a pop singer. I'm not a blues singer. I've never sang the blues in my entire life.
Well, let's hear Neil Finn sing Don't Dream It's Over Now and just try to imagine this in Fleetwood Mac if we can.
There is freedom within, there is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge in a paper cup.
I mean, that's a jam, dude.
It's
such
a good song.
But it is. He's got a sweeter tone to his voice than Lindsey. I'm actually a little bit confused.
But that was like 30 some years ago. I think he's aged into a bit of a different voice now.
Fair enough, but it seems somewhat random, and I didn't really. You asked how they ended up with him. I didn't really get a good sense from their answer of why.
It was he's somebody that Mick knows that he's liked for a very long time. I think that Mick goes on and on his instincts. It was his instincts to hire Stevie Nicks back in the day. He's hired every person that's ever been in this band.
He's like the HR manager for Fleetwood Mac.
Basically, it's true.
But you asked a very good question, which is, you know, Christine McVie just did an entire album just with Lindsey Buckingham.
And tour.
And it was all because Stevie wouldn't record with Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
And you're like, how do you feel about the fact that your recent duo partner is no longer in the band? She's like, you know, it was a surprise, really.
Yeah, and the tour just ended a few months ago. I mean, she spent a long time with him on the road.
It's quite a thing, this band. And it goes to another point, which is people think that, we talk about this all the time, people think that these, you know, older bands' stories end.
Yeah.
You know, once they turn 40, the story ends. The truth is, it doesn't end at all. It keeps going crazy.
And that all we see is the stuff on stage. But for Fleetwood Mac, that time on stage is 3 hours out of every 3 days.
I should probably talk now. So I did a cover story with Stevie Nicks, you know, 2-3 years ago. And it was controversial. I knew at the time she wasn't my decision to put just Stevie on the cover. But, you know, she is part of the dynamic is that she has become in some ways more famous than Fleetwood Mac itself among young people. She is such an idol, especially for young women, but not just women. I mean, Harry Styles idolizes her. So in some sense, even though she was about to embark upon a Fleetwood Mac tour at the time, it, you know, it did make sense to put just her on the cover. And I had a great time with her. One thing that was quite evident as I conducted my interviews with her is that the rest of the band was pretty pissed off at this whole thing. And I wrote in the story, I met Mick Fleetwood briefly. He shook my hand and promptly, like, disappeared forever. I never saw him again. And then there was this thing where Stevie was playing her mix of songs in her dressing room. We were hanging out and she was playing, you know, it's like Lifehouse and stuff. It's, you know, stuff she likes. And, you know, there's a banging on the wall. And I come to realize this is Lindsey Buckingham banging on the wall because Stevie Nicks is, quote unquote, playing her music too loud. So the tensions were manifesting itself to that level.
And I spoke with Lindsey about this a couple years ago, and he's like, and his big thing is that he wanted to make a new record, and Stevie refused. And he was so frustrated that he got Christine and just made it, but that was supposed to be an album by Fleetwood Mac.
Well, that's what's so confusing is on the one hand, Lindsey Buckingham, you know, Stevie Nicks, they're all incredibly talented. Lindsey Buckingham, though, is, you know, a studio genius, even if you listen to his last few solo records, and he may prefer the studio to the road in some ways, and these people prefer the road to the studio, and that's a big factor,
I asked Stevie about it about a year ago, and she was like, making a album is very difficult, it's very tense, and it will lose money, and it's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, Lindsey has that sort of indie rock side to him. There are people who think he sort of helped invent the sort of like indie homegrown aesthetic with Tusk and stuff. So he, in some ways, he may be, you know, I don't want to say he's less mercenary than the rest of the band, but he also has a young family at home. And they just, it's incredible. They're just like, you're done, you know. Although, would anyone rule out a return? I certainly would not.
No, and that's their next move, obviously, is the big reunion. So they need a theme for every tour. If this tour was the same as the previous tour, it would be kind of boring. boring.
They should just do mix and match, and you know, like Ace Frehley should join Fleetwood Mac, and Lindsey Buckingham can join Kiss, and it'll be great. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. This has been Rolling Stone Music Now. We were talking about Fleetwood Mac and playing some of Andy Green's excellent interview with them from just a few days ago. We'll be back next week here on Volume Channel 106 on Sirius XM. In the meantime, we are a podcast. Download us as a podcast. Subscribe to us as a podcast. Maybe leave us a nice review on iTunes. I read them all. And we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.